This is the More Than Right podcast, and I'm your host, Steve Lopez. Like most people in the West, Americans conflate the term democracy with freedom. But are the two the same? America's founders didn't think so. John Adams famously said, quote, "Remember, democracy never lasts long. It soon wastes, exhausts, and murders itself. There never was a democracy yet that did not commit suicide," unquote. Alexander Hamilton seconded that motion. Quote, "It has been observed that a pure democracy, if it were practicable, would be the most perfect government. Experience has proved that no position is more false than this. The ancient democracies in which the people themselves deliberated never possessed one good feature of government. Their very character was tyranny, their figure deformity." Unquote. The founders were thinking of ancient Athens, whose democracy burned bright for 80 years before it was extinguished by Sparta. Demagogues divided Athenian voters into violent factions bent on mindless foreign wars. The fall of Athens marked the first suicide of the world's first democracy. And that brings us to the Gaza Strip. Did you know one man, one vote democracy exists in war-torn Gaza? In 2006, the good people of the Gaza Strip voted members of the terrorist organization Hamas to rule them. But conflict between Hamas and terrorist rival Fatah of Israel's West Bank, quote, "contributed to legal confusion and repeated postponement of elections, which have not been held in the Gaza Strip since 2006. Hamas generally governs in an authoritarian manner, actively suppressing criticism of its rule," unquote. So says the democracy monitoring organization, Freedom House. Democracy in Gaza lasted about 1 year. But despite Hamas suspending elections and strong-arming its citizens, polls show Palestinians still believe their terrorist overlords truly represent them. When Hamas fighters stormed into Israel last October 7th, one terrorist, proud of his handiwork, called home to his parents in Gaza. "Look how many I killed with my own hands," he told his mother excitedly. "Your son killed Jews." The proud mother then handed the phone to the killer's father. "I killed her, and I killed her husband. I killed 10 with my own hands. Dad, 10 with my own hands." People forget, the Nazi Party won over 30% of the vote in the German elections of 1933, and so Hitler was named chancellor in a coalition government. 4 short months after Hitler assumed office, the German legislature voted, very democratically, to allow him to rule by decree. And so, the German chancellor became the German Führer. So, when you think of the Second World War and its millions of dead, most of whom were civilians, and you think of the Jewish Holocaust, mass murder calculated down to the last shriek of terror, never forget that both were expressions of the democratic will. As Hitler did before, Hamas can rightly claim to be the democratic voice of their people. Here in the United States, we do not live under a democracy, thank God. The U.S. Constitution would have never been ratified by the original 13 states without a promise that the U.S. Congress would amend the Constitution to include a Bill of Rights. The First Amendment, which protects free speech and the right to worship according to one's conscience, begins with the 5 most beautiful words in the English language: "Congress shall make no law." This is vehemently anti-democratic, and proudly so. That's because in these United States of America, there is a higher principle than one man, one vote, and that is the preservation of individual liberty in the face of the Democratic majority's irrational whims and those of their duly elected imbeciles. America's founders understood that democracy and liberty are mutually exclusive concepts. More importantly, that democracy left unchecked will become a brutal monster that will justify its atrocities as representing the sacred will of the people. And we have Hamas to thank for that very bloody reminder. While speaking to the folks at Pod Save America, former President Barack Obama spoke nervously while giving his take on the Israel-Hamas conflict, espousing the kind of moral confusion that so defined his presidency and continues to describe the global left.
If there's any chance of us being able to act constructively to do something, it will require an admission of complexity and maintaining what on the surface may seem contradictory ideas. That what Hamas did was horrific and there's no justification for it. And what is also true is that the occupation and what's happening to Palestinians is unbearable. And what is also true is that there is a history of the Jewish people that may be dismissed unless your grandparents or your great-grandparents or your uncle or your aunt tell you stories about the madness of anti-Semitism. And what is true is that there are people right now who are dying who have nothing to do with what Hamas did and what is true, right? I mean, we can go on for a while. And the problem with the social media and trying to TikTok activism and trying to debate this on that is you can't speak the truth. You can pretend to speak the truth. You can speak one side of the truth. And in some cases, you can try to maintain your moral innocence, but that won't solve the problem. And so if you want to solve the problem, then you have to take in the whole truth. And you then have to admit nobody's hands are clean.
Notice that at no time did Obama use the word Holocaust to describe Hitler's genocide of Europe's 6 million Jews. Doing so might have drawn obvious comparisons to the atrocities committed by Hamas's Jew-hating from the river to the sea stormtroopers. Then, in a creepy rhetorical aside, Obama extends the scope of this moral get-out-of-jail-free card to include, well, himself. Republican Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas added his thoughts on Obama's skewed moral compass by saying from the well of the United States Senate,
"What Barack Obama said over the weekend might pass for profound at cocktail parties on Martha's Vineyard or on podcasts with sycophantic former staffers, but is also delusional and morally obtuse. Put simply, it's a confession of a guilty man attempting to implicate others. Because we're not all complicit with Hamas's massacre of Jews, but Barack Obama sure is. No American president did more to embolden and enrich Iran and its terrorist proxies than Barack Obama. Indeed, his entire Middle East policy was crafted to appease Iran. As president, he stayed quiet when Iranian protesters took to the streets in the Green Revolution. He sabotaged legislation in Congress sanctioning Iran. He cut and ran from Iraq, knowing that Iran and its proxies would fill the power vacuum. He refused to enforce a self-drawn red line and stood by as Syria disintegrated into a geopolitical Chernobyl because Bashar al-Assad is an Iranian puppet. He consistently undermined Benjamin Netanyahu, Iran's chief nemesis in the region, and even refused to veto a United Nations Security Council resolution condemning Israel. And of course, he negotiated the disastrous Iran nuclear deal, handing the Ayatollahs over $100 billion in sanctions relief. Barack Obama single-handedly saved the Iranian economy and harmed diplomatic relations with our allies in Saudi Arabia and Israel. When he left office, the Middle East was in flames and Iran was on the march. Tragically, Barack Obama's coterie of Iran appeasers, apologists, and accomplices have returned to the White House. His understudy, Joe Biden, is now president. Barack Obama's legacy is alive and well in this administration, and it certainly shows.
But the best reply, by far, was from a dear friend and longtime Obama supporter, famed defense attorney Alan Dershowitz. It was a pointed response to the former president's moral equivalence argument and statement about the so-called unbearable oppression suffered by Palestinians at the hands of Israel. Speaking on his Dershow podcast, Dershowitz said,
"Well, if something's unbearable, you can do anything you want to make it bearable. You can rape, you can murder, you can kill. To put those two things in the same sentence, to even have them in the same paragraph, in the same page, in the same book, is so obscene and so outrageous. The analogy I can think of is this. It would be as if a Southern member of the Ku Klux Klan said, the lynching of blacks is unjustifiable, but what about the high crime rate that blacks have? That's unbearable to white people. Would anybody ever say that? Yeah. A member of the Klan might say it. A member of the Nazi Party might say it. But nobody would try to compare a crime rate, which has many, many causes, to the lynching of blacks. And here we had 1,400 Jews lynched. And that's what Barack Obama should be talking about. And I have to tell you, the Democratic Party is going to pay a heavy price for Barack Obama's statements if he goes on the campaign trail, because people would hound him. I will hound him with those statements and not let him get away with that. It was not a slip of the tongue. It was a very carefully contrived statement trying to create a sense of equality and moral comparison between something that's can never be excused, murder, rape, beheadings, and something that is controversial politically and that you, Barack Obama, didn't do very much to help the Palestinians get out of. So don't count on me and my support. You have been an enemy to justice, an enemy to Israel, an enemy to the Jewish people, and an enemy to decency. And I'm embarrassed that I ever thought it as highly as you as I obviously did. I was fooled by you. I'll never be fooled again.
Senator Cotton and defense attorney Dershowitz make good points about the connection between Obama's approach to Middle East policy and those of his so-called protege, Joe Biden. It is likely to affect a loss in support from yet another traditional minority constituency of the Democratic Party, Jews. Support for Joe Biden among black voters once stood at 90%. That has dropped to 74%. And the last midterm election saw Hispanic support for Democratic candidates drop by 21%. As of now, polls show former President Donald Trump leading Biden in 6 out of 7 battleground states. Obama's moral confusion, coupled with Biden's call for Israel's unilateral ceasefire in Hamas-controlled Gaza, should provide moments of clarity for the usual knee-jerk Democratic voter. And the painful epiphany of Obama's former friend, Alan Dershowitz, may be contagious. That concludes this edition of the More Than Right podcast. If you feel so inclined, please like and subscribe to the podcast. Until next time, This is Steve Lopez.